This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hartman. Jackpot.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome in to Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. On the Odyssey app, on 99.5 HD2, on YouTube and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher across the faux marble table. As always, Rashawn Taylor.
Gang.
What's up? How we doing?
What does that mean, actually, gang? If I say that, is that like, what's up? Is that homie?
I'll leave that to you. Again, maybe the kids on
probably,
Twitch.
Probably not the right guy to ask.
The kids on Twitch can fill us in. Jordan Schultz behind the glass.
A little hurt today. Playing a little hurt.
Yeah.
Long holiday night. Party. Holiday party last night. It was fun.
Coffee's for closers, though, bud.
Well, I closed, but Miller High Life was flowing last night, so feeling it a bit today.
You love your High Life.
Champagne and beers.
Kept it pretty low-key last night. You know, it was a Saturday night, but beer, tequila.
Right. the regular.
Four shots of Jaeger.
The regular menu.
Four bong hits, man.
What was it? Went to dinner last night, though. Farmhouse. You ever been? Thai place. Yeah. Fantastic. Right there off of Hawthorne. Got myself some Pad Khi Mao.
One of my favorites, drunken noodles, man.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Well, and I had to ask my girlfriend the other day, I was like, why do they call it drunken noodles? She's like, because when you're drunk or the next morning and you're hungover, it's a great way to sop up all the alcohol.
Yeah, that's, so, I mean.
Pretty damn good name,
good,
then.
Good hangover meal.
No, absolutely. I'm a big Pad Khi Mao fan.
Pad Khi Mao. Yeah. And I think there's a, I don't know. Listen.
I like that one. I'm a big Pad Thai fan. I don't know. I'm just, you know, I like it spicy. So yeah, go ahead and make it extra spicy for me.
I could have used a little bit more kick in mine last night. You know, there was a little bit.
No sriracha?
Well, sriracha, I feel like, isn't a thing anymore. I thought sriracha would, like, died a slow death, and that you can't even get sriracha nowadays.
I just saw it at Walmart the other day.
Well, and then I saw that, like, the sriracha now they're making isn't with the same chili, so it's like a different hue, and it's not even the same sriracha as the past.
I don't know where you've been at, buddy, but I love my sriracha, and, you know, every kind of Asian-themed restaurant I go to definitely has some or something similar to sriracha. It may not have a label on it, but it's, you know, tastes like that old similar, you know, get that old feeling when I eat it. So,
yeah, they didn't have Singha Ha last night at this place.
What?
I know.
Close them down. Close them down.
She's like, yeah, no Singha Ha. And then she's like, yeah, we might just get rid of it altogether. We might not even have it. And I was like, wow.
What?
That is a bold move, Farmhouse.
You know what? Speaking of not having something, so along the lines of food. Me and the wife go to Elmer's the other day, and I love Elmer's. I'm an Oregon guy, so Elmer's
smoking a heater while eating your breakfast.
That's how it used to be for sure. I remember going with my grandfather, and he was kind of friends with, you know, some bartenders and stuff like that at Elmer's. So we would sit in the lounge when you weren't supposed to. But yeah, you know, go and sit in front of the fireplace if it's Elmer's is always a vibe.
Come here and play this video poker with
me. Hey man, yeah, just stay. No, it was really stay here. I'm gonna go put this money down over here, but
and lose it.
Hey,
I was always
good.
A fan of their Marion Berry like syrup. That they no longer have. They know, and it was really disappointing. It was almost like I like the syrup more than I like your pancakes.
Elmer's.
Pancakes are cool, but the syrup is really what puts it over the top.
At one point, Elmer's used to be like the breakfast
it was
spot,
the spot
in Oregon.
Absolutely.
I mean, every Sunday after church, my grandpa, rest in peace, would take us there for good old brunch. So.
Well, the quote-unquote title of the Oregon breakfast is now up for grabs, now that Sherry's is gone, too.
Yeah, I mean,
no more Sherry's.
Yeah, Sherry's was never my favorite place, but damn, I didn't want to see it go out of business.
Like,
I was a big fan of some pies that they had there.
There's two specific things I loved at Sherry's. The stuffed hash browns.
I figured you'd say that.
Yep, yeah. Just God, so good. How do they get the sour cream in the middle?
Who does that? I don't know. It's
how do they do that?
I have no idea.
Do they inject it? Somehow with like some sort of one of those big syringes they use.
Like the ones that they use it at Taco Bell?
Yeah, what do they do? and then also the pie milkshakes, where you can get a milkshake
and they
throw a slice of pie into it.
Pretty legit.
And then they make you a milkshake of that said pie. Also, just want to pull this up, the businessmanual.com. Says whether it was the end of its relationship with Underwood Ranches or the fact that Hugh Fong Foods is now sourcing its peppers from various suppliers, the change in such a crucial ingredient meant the taste of Hugh Fong's iconic sriracha was no longer the same. I told you.
Huh. Oh, yeah, they changed it. Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the peppers that they originally getting, whether it was, I don't know, the bees weren't pollinating them or I don't know what the hell was happening. Well, but
all organ, you know, all like food things go through change. They used to put actual cocaine in Coca-Cola. They don't anymore, but.
That's true.
Yeah, late 1800s, early 1900s.
They just had to change that.
On the subject of food, though, and I will also pose this to, because I wanted to bring this up and put it out to the listeners. You can text into the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. It seems like there's sort of becoming a mutiny against turkey on Thanksgiving nowadays, which I'm like, I have mixed feelings about. Because I feel like, you know, turkey, it's a one time a year thing. Like, when else throughout the calendar year are you making a whole turkey, right? Like, it's not happening. sure, there's turkey sandwiches, but you're not making a whole turkey.
No, I think, you know, it's kind of pissing me off because I feel like people are starting to trying to change traditions. They're trying to move away from traditions. Like, I understand that Thanksgiving now is adults, now that we know what really happened, you know, they're all those years ago for Thanksgiving. It's like, okay.
It was a lot two of parties coming together and hanging out and having a good time, Rashad. Bingo. What are you talking about?
That's exactly.
Yeah, the pilgrims were fun people.
That's exactly what we learned about.
Keg stands, you know? Just getting lit.
That's exactly what keg stands, you idiot.
It's funny, pilgrims actually hated holidays.
But like you said, I've noticed a lot of people is like, yeah, I'm not doing a turkey this year. I'm doing a prime rib.
Doing
I'm
a brisket.
A pig,
doing a prime
I'm
rib.
Doing
yeah.
whatever.
Lobster
like, okay,
tails.
That's cool. Yeah, it's like,
hell yeah.
That's cool. And mind you, I love lobster tails in addition to my turkey on Thanksgiving. Because again, like you were saying, Jordan, those sandwiches next day or next couple of days
are
the leftovers.
All you need is just literally turkey, mayo, and a roll.
I throw a little cheese on there because I'm fat.
I mean, you can dress it up however you want. Hell, put stuffing on there as well, right?
No, I'm not a stuffing.
But literally, I think all you need is just turkey, mayo. I know how much Rashad loves mayo. And those two on a roll.
So I got to ask, fellas, because it's a cultural thing, because Jordan, you just said stuffing, right? That's what you guys have at Thanksgiving.
Stuffing or dressing?
Dressing.
Yeah, we have dressing.
Yeah,
have dressing.
I call it stuffing.
Man. I just literally have heard my family call it stuffing.
Tell me some of the things that are at your table.
Oh, I mean, this is it's a typical white person.
You know?
I mean, it's literally Thanksgiving.
Because we have a lot of the same
mashed
stuff,
potatoes, mac and cheese. Yeah. I'm on mac and cheese duty this year.
So ditto, actually.
Oh, that's a huge responsibility.
My girlfriend sent me
this. You can F that up real easy.
She sent me a Facebook, like a post on Instagram or something. She's like, you need 5 to 7 years experience and at least 3 references to be taken over the mac and cheese for Thanksgiving.
That's a key part of the Thanksgiving plate. The mac and cheese.
I've done it before, but it's still nerve wracking. It's you know, you want to make sure you get the right cheeses. You got to make sure you get the roux right. You got to have that. You don't want thick mac and cheese sauce. That cheese sauce, you want it creamy still.
Do you go
with a bread topping? Do you throw some bacon in there? Like, you know,
don't throw bacon in there. That just
some
the
people
whole
don't
thing
throw some bacon in there. There's gonna be one batch that has bacon and one batch
that's
doesn't.
Smart. Because yeah, that, it's go. Just bacon. I love bacon, but in that kind of dish, it'll overpower it.
Oh,
but,
no, there'll be half and half.
Do you guys have green bean casseroles?
Yes, my mom is making green bean casserole.
There's no green bean casserole.
I feel like mac and cheese has been one that snuck in like the last 20 years on Thanksgiving.
Really?
Am I just making that up? Because like when I was a kid, we didn't really have mac and cheese at Thanksgiving. It was like the last 5 or so years that kind of started to become a thing at my house.
No, that's as important as the turkey. If somebody doesn't have the mac and cheese, and that's a...
Kind of what Jordan was saying. That sort of made a come up over the last decade or so, mac and cheese on Thanksgiving, yeah. Because I don't think I remember mac and cheese really being a thing as a kid, but over the last few years, it's made its way.
Now,
so potato salad? Potato salad?
No, we don't do potato salad.
No potato salad?
No.
Okay.
Do you guys do like a nice like
charcuterie board? As long as there's raisins in there, Rashad.
Mm. Oh my God. Mm.
I don't know who the weirdo was that decided... You know, we're just going to put some raisins and cranberries in there.
Well, they're dead now.
Some craisins.
Yeah, don't do that. Now, do you guys do a charcuterie board or like snacks beforehand? Before you do like kind of the, you know, just lay it out spread before the meal?
Yeah, there's the vegetable tray.
Yeah, the little relish tray, as my mom likes to call it.
I will say that, you know,
wine, cheese.
After being with my girlfriend now and... hanging out with her friends, they're bougie. They definitely like the finer things in life, and they don't play around with their charcuterie boards. They do not F around. Like, they go in on
super
those.
Fancy. Love
and it. Now when I hang out with my family, it's just very generic. You know, here's some Ritz and some club snacker, club crackers, and like maybe some water crackers or whatever, like those thin ones, and then some basic cheeses. And it's now, like, you guys, we got
to
do better.
You talk about something that's just been added to the Thanksgiving roster. I think the charcuterie board is one of those things that really over the last few years, it's like aesthetically, it looks really nice, right? But historically for us, it's been, man, somebody get that cheese tray. Or that meat and cheese tray
from the deli section.
Yeah, from that part with the...
And that's what I'm saying is that's...
With the pepperonis and some cheese.
We got to do better.
That's I mean, I think I like that cheese. Man, I don't want
to... Oh, I'm still crushing it for sure.
Listen, I love a good charcuterie board, but if I'm being honest, if I could have some like some other kind of not so artisan cheese, not so, man, yeah, I'll take that. Like, give me some Colby, some cheddar, a little bit of pepper jack and some crackers. I'll take that all day over a kind of a bougie charcuterie board. I like it. Don't get me wrong, but.
You know, a great thing to do that's just non-Thanksgiving related is go just buy yourself, take yourself to Olympia Provisions and get yourself one of their charcuterie boards just for yourself.
Oh,
I did that one time.
I'm not that fancy.
Well, I was dropping my girlfriend off because they made reservations for Con, like, you know, months ahead because you have to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was the odd one left out. So I literally just had to chauffeur her and her friends to Con and drop them off. And then I was like, all right, we'll see you guys in 2.5 hours or whatever, 3 hours. And I was like, well, what the hell am I going to do? And then I was like, well, I'm going to treat myself. And I went to Olympia Provisions by myself and I got myself a charcuterie.
Self-care.
And I got myself a charcuterie board. It was fantastic. It was one of the better.
Pour yourself some wine, put your feet up on the couch.
Oh, it was
set like this.
And then I sat at the bar where I could watch them make and cook the chef's table, essentially. And I was watching them put everything together. It was fantastic. It was one of the better meals I've ever had.
I want my charcuterie board to have a ribeye, have some nice cheese, you know, a couple of ribs. I think that's, you know, maybe a few pieces of
so
lettuce.
A barbecue plate, it sounds
like. Yeah, I mean, I think barbecue-themed charcuterie
I want a barbecue charcuterie. Yeah, that's just a barbecue plate.
Yeah, that sounds a lot more fun.
You know, and thinking back, too, I actually did have a lobster roll on Thanksgiving. Or not a lobster roll, just like a lobster tail. We were at a restaurant in Bend doing like a Thanksgiving Sun River bougie, you know, whatever you want to call it, celebration. And there was the one restaurant in town open, and they had a selection of like turkey, or you could do beef, or you could do a lobster tail. And I had a lobster tail on Thanksgiving.
That sounds awesome.
And I did not need turkey. I don't think I ever missed turkey that day.
Well, I'll say this, cause just to wrap this conversation up about turkey and stuff, because I get the Popeye's turkey. Not sure if you guys have seen those advertisements.
My dad, I was talking to him the other day, and he's like, you know, I had never heard of this thing until I was listening to your show and saw Rashad or heard Rashad bring it up. And now, which I gave him points because he actually got your name right that time.
My man.
Old white guy. Rashard?
It's a hard name. Oh, again,
I'm like, no,
it's
dad.
Not. It's Rashad.
It's a hard name. Rashad. Listen, it's a tough name for a lot of white people to say. I understand that.
Oh, it's better than Patrick calling you Rashad Evans.
Yeah, right? I mean, at least he got the first part. At least he got the first part right. But no, when I go to get delivery food somewhere, they ask me for my name. I say Frank. But I've usually been doing a lot of like PIL school names, so I'll tell them my name is Roosevelt, or I'll tell them it's, you know, Jefferson or something like that. It irritates my wife and son, but it's fun to do.
But yes, I've seen the ads. And
get it. It's awesome.
I mean, it's awesome.
$54.99 for in-store orders.
It's awesome.
If somebody has one, I'll try it, but I'm not buying a whole Thanksgiving turkey from Popeyes.
Okay. Well, you could do a whole like meal. They got the side set up for you too. You can get the mac and cheese, the cheesecake. You've got, you know, like four or five options for sides too.
Trust me. Just go get that. It's already deep fried, put it in the oven. Go ahead and do that. Trust me, guys.
Well, text in again if you do something different than text in if you do something different than turkey, or if you have some sort of different style dish that you do on Thanksgiving, and also if you have like a spinoff of a traditional dish. So like, now it wouldn't happen at my family's Thanksgiving. I think it would be a hard, like, you know, I'm sure it's great, but don't do it. My girlfriend makes some great leek mashed potatoes. Where leeks are in it, I'm telling you, it is such a game changer. Where I don't think, again, for my family, it would be like, they'd be like,
Thanksgiving.
Exactly. I'm sure it sounds great, but for the kids and everybody else, like, let's not do that. We'll just do traditional mashed potatoes.
Dish to not be eaten on Thanksgiving, right? And even if it's great, but just nobody knows about it yet. So Thanksgiving's always the wrong day to introduce a new dish to.
If it was up to me, I would force them. I would be like, we're doing the leek mashed potatoes. And too effing bad. You're all going to eat it and like it.
What you have to do is you have to hype it up prior. So you have to tell, man, these leek mashed potatoes are fire. And then everybody has to try them, and then they'll go from there. You have to kind of hype it up first.
I'm telling you now, leek mashed potatoes are a game changer. But yeah, if you have any non-traditional or spin-off meal, I'd love to hear it on the text line. Vancouver 4 text line 503-864-6326. But let's get to some football. We've got a lot of drama going down in a particular city. There is one team over on the West Coast that is absolutely falling apart and is making a division interesting in the NFL. Over in college, a huge win for a program, one that we didn't see coming. And after a week of propaganda, boy, how the tables have turned and how a specific conference just absolutely soiled themselves on Saturday. We'll get to that as well. But let's first start where a concrete jungle where nightmares are made of. We get to that next year. Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. Also, PSA, since we're on the Thanksgiving subject here, Christmas music not allowed until after Thanksgiving. It's disrespectful to Thanksgiving if you're playing Christmas music beforehand.
I would tend to agree.
I
would tend to agree.
You're not giving to Thanksgiving. It's fair shake.
Which is my favorite holiday.
It's like celebrating a kid's birthday when your other kid has their birthday first. Like, give Timmy his time to shine.
Let's at least eat first. And then we can throw on the fa-la-la-la.
I love Christmas music. Like, there's only one.
I can't wait to turn to the Christmas station to listen to music all day.
Give me the buble. Yeah. Like, you know.
On it this morning.
Yeah. But to me, it's disrespectful to Thanksgiving. And again, that great party that they had all those years ago, the pilgrims and the Native Americans, where nothing went wrong.
Seriously, like, Thanksgiving is... Thanksgiving has become my favorite holiday, especially as an adult. Like, as a kid, it's Christmas. It's the pomp and circumstance of Christmas. Everybody loves it. Man, Thanksgiving is just, it's about food and booze and football and family. It's like, that's an awesome day to just hang out, like, after you've prepared all your food and just veg out and eat for the next couple of days. Absolutely.
Yeah, you guys are right. It's an amazing holiday. That doesn't mean you can't enjoy Christmas-themed stuff while you're celebrating.
I
think we got
two things can be true.
I think
new Kendrick album just dropped. Listen to that. All right.
Listen to that.
November 2nd, Christmas music, baby.
A couple records. Okay.
Well, you did mention that Thanksgiving is all about football, we are in crunch time as far as football goes. We are approaching rivalry week next week in college football. We are approaching a conference championship in a couple weeks. We're thick in the playoff race of the NFL. And as a tradition as old as time, just like Thanksgiving, just like Christmas music, both New York teams and the NFL absolutely suck eggs.
Ass.
Dude.
I think that's the word you meant to say.
Suck eggs, ass, all of the above. Which team, and I pose this to my buddy on my podcast that I do, is I gave him options of four NFL teams, but let's just stick to the two NFL New York teams. If you were an owner, say Woody Johnson or I forget who, the Moras for the Giants, are like, I'm out. I'm not running. I can't run this team anymore. Or even just a GM, and both of those spots are open up. Which job would you rather have?
Jets.
You'd rather have the Jets, who have not made the playoffs since, 2010, I believe, since Mark Sanchez?
Yeah, I think there's always still some hope around the Jets, though. And especially considering the division they play in, which is probably more winnable, for being real, than maybe the NFC East. Like, the NFC East is... It's kind of a beast, you know, especially, you know, right now. Obviously, your Cowboys aren't playing that well, but I don't expect that to be the case forever.
And I'm wearing their garb today because they have won me money three straight weeks.
I was going to say, you're all dolled up, baby. Your Cowboys.
Oh, I've taken the spread against the Cowboys the last 3 weeks, and it has been profitable, baby.
Yeah. So, I mean, and mind you, so like I'm saying, they're not going to be, I don't think they're going to be bad for long. Philly is obviously doing their thing right now. Washington had a surprise, you know, glow up this year. So I think that division is going to be much harder to win than maybe the AFC East, which really outside of the Bills, the Dolphins can be back and forth, right? The Patriots are bottom
tier
right now.
Conscious, yeah.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I'm looking at the Jets job, and I'm looking at having a Breece Hall and a Garrett Wilson and a Sauce Gardner. And it's like, yeah, that's a franchise I could go to and be like, Let's see, you know, what we can't possibly do. A Quentin Williams that's there. Like, you've got pieces, if you're being honest. And so it's always so surprising that how are they so bad all the time?
I mean,
you know, like, especially over the last couple of years. Like, I know Saleh wasn't great, but they should be good enough to compete, you know, in that AFC East.
Well, and that's where I think that there is a little bit of top down, right? Like, you look at, you know, my Cowboys. Why are they so, like, why can they not perform?
Jerry is why.
Yeah, ownership. Like, yeah. That ownership in the Jets is so reactionary and so knee-jerk. Like, all right, let's fire Robert Saleh. All right, let's get rid of the GM now. All right, I don't think I want Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback anymore. And now it's reported that Aaron Rodgers is like, yeah, I'll play next year, but I don't think I want to play for the Jets next year. Like, that franchise, if you were to compare the two, there does seem to be at least a little bit more, I don't think stability is the right word, but at least there's adults in the room in New York. I mean, once they get rid of Joe Shane and find a new GM, like, I like Brian Daboll. I think he's a good offensive mind. I just think he's kind of been dealt an S hand with having Daniel Jones as his quarterback.
I don't know. I think the Giants kind of summed up why the Giants are the Giants. And we've all seen it, that conversation of them in the war room or in the GM's office, can't remember. And I'm not exactly sure who it was at the time that was saying, it's like, my conscience really won't let me get rid of Saquon Barkley. I feel like that's a bad idea. You know, like, I don't know. I don't feel good about this. And then they still went ahead and pulled the trigger and got rid of their best player, who was kind of didn't seem like he wanted to leave, you know, like that. So it was kind of like that's the Giants in a nutshell. They're just not, they don't have the team in place, I should say, to make sure they can be successful. It seems like the Jets are at least trying, though. And I think that's why I would say the Jets. You know, you're trying by going out and getting Aaron Rodgers. You're trying by, you know, kind of building your defense around Quentin Williams and Sauce Gardner. Like, you're making strides to be better.
But again, it's like, that's where the ownership comes into question. Now, granted, what is it, Joe Douglas, which, by the way, have you ever seen a picture of Joe Douglas?
I have not.
Honestly, not until he gotten fired.
Right, no. Same thing, right? Does he not look like Kingpin from Spider-Man?
He kind of does.
Daredevil. Dude, I saw that the other day, and I saw a picture of him in, like, a suit, too, and I was like, dude, that is, yeah, straight
old
up.
Old fat, bald guy.
Yes, exactly.
But a different fat look than Brian Daboll as another fat, bald guy who's gotten skinny. So,
that's true. Yeah. That's true. But the Jets, they hired him in 2019, and his draft record outside of Zach Wilson is actually pretty damn good. Like, and that's unfortunate, too, because, like, the one position which you need to get right is quarterback, and that is the one that he did not get right at all.
And it's the hardest one to get right. How many quarterbacks have come out and these are surefire Hall of Famers or surefire guys that are going to be Pro Bowlers, or and they just don't do anything, or they have one great year and they never have another good one. Mark Sanchez at one point was a pretty solid quarterback in the NFL, as was RG3 at one point as his rookie year, and then just the wheels fall off for some guys. It's just it's harder to do. It's a hard pick to make as quarterback.
It's just wild that year after year after year after year, literally since, I mean, the Giants won their last Super Bowl, we're going on 13 seasons now of both of these franchises just being inept.
The Jets used to be nice, too. Like, nice. Like, one of those teams that you play with on Madden was like, oh, yeah.
I mean, the Chad Pennington, Curtis Martin Jets, those are decent Jets teams back in the mid-2000s. I like those Jets team. I had one of my best friends growing up, he was a Jets fan, and so I remember watching a lot of their games. And Curtis Martin's, like, one of the most underrated running backs of all time. Dude did not fumble the ball. Jets was an absolute stalwart. You can rely on him all day long.
Quote Joe Namath, what was Chad Pennington's best skill? He's a passer, not a thrower.
Cool. I mean, Chad Pennington, again, his Thanks, Joe. Jets day.
I want to kiss you right now.
His Jets days were probably the Jets' best Chad Pennington that you got.
You're
so right.
I mean, once he had one playoff year with the Dolphins, but I do think that was when Brady went down with that torn ACL that year. And I still remember that wild card game that they played against the Ravens that year, and the Ravens just absolutely demolished the Dolphins. My dad's a Dolphins fan, so he was very excited for that game, and I remember that did not end well at all.
Yeah, no, but Chad Pennington was
on
point.
But Ed Reed running through that that offense after a pick and taking it back for a touchdown.
But again, even in the case of Chad Pennington, he wasn't always great to start. Right, they gave him an opportunity to make mistakes and work through those mistakes and figure out the type of quarterback that he could be for the Jets. And once he figured it out, like, oh crap, like, Chad Pennington can play, right? Like, mind you, was he at the time, was he Peyton or, you know, not even Tom Brady wasn't Tom Brady for a while. Even after the first couple Super Bowls, there were still people that looked at Tom Brady like, eh, like he's a game manager. It wasn't until they started letting him air it out a little bit that you were like, oh, okay, he can play. Pennington was right in that mix as far as being a top 10 quarterback because they gave him an opportunity to learn. I don't know if that's, we live in this day in the NFL, like we talked about last week, like you don't get that opportunity to struggle. If you struggle this year and if you have another half year of a struggle, they're going to pull you. And unless you're the Giants, and yeah, they're going to, you know, ride that Daniel Jones train until the wheels fall off.
Well, and you know, the Giants are the perfect example of just because the quarterback is up next doesn't mean you need to give him $40 million a year. Doesn't mean that you need to give him that long-term contract. I really wonder if we're about to hit a point. I mean, we've even seen it with, you know, giving Dak the bag, giving Trevor Lawrence the bag, giving Tua the bag in a sense. But then again, like the one of those three that I actually do give a little bit of like, yeah, you need to pay him is the Tua aspect because that offense is just
putrid without him.
Oh my God. So the one problem with it is that, well, you just hope that he doesn't hit his head at all. And that's whereas like the Trevor Lawrence and Dak Prescott aspect are performance based, right? Like it, you never seem like you are getting the best performance out of them. And you don't think those guys are top five quarterbacks when they're out on the field. So, I mean, the Giants are the perfect example is like, just because he is supposed to get paid doesn't mean you have to pay him. And this is where I want to go next is a team that has a lot of questions coming up and they are right now in a spot that they have never been before. And it's ironic because they're actually on the TV right in front of me. We get to that next here on Football Sunday. But first, Jordan Schultz with the SportsCenter update.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Money Crimes is a podcast all about the dark side of finance and sometimes murder. Find Money Crimes on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
The NFC West is a complete crapshoot right now. Who knows who's going to win? Right now, the Cardinals are leading the division. The Seahawks and the Rams are right there in the thick of it. And the team that's outside looking in at this point is the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, which is crazy. That
the hell?
I mean, and mind you, it makes me giggle a little bit.
That
San Francisco,
I hate
is so bad.
I hate 49ers fans so much that I'm getting a little bit of enjoyment out of this.
You know what we haven't seen on our timelines in a long time?
Them walking out with that stupid boombox out of their locker room.
That or bang bang. Anybody saying bang bang on any timeline has been really, really frustrating.
Mike Capes has been quiet on the timeline.
He's been real quiet. I don't hear you, Capes. No, yeah, but shout out to the homie Mike Capes. But no, I think it's really interesting what's happened in San Francisco. However, they did just get Christian McCaffrey back. Was it last week?
Yeah, last week. Prior?
Okay, so they did just get him back. So that should change their offense. Brock Purdy is starting to look like the guy that we all thought.
But he's out this week.
He's out this week,
he
right?
is, yeah.
Brandon Allen, the vet, going to be starting.
Yeah, and I think Bosa is out as well.
That might be closer to a game time decision. I'm not sure I've seen anything on him yet.
Working the phone, Schultz. I'm gonna look
to my sources.
No. Come on.
So, I mean, I'm not sure. Like, for the Seahawks, I don't know if many people expected them to really compete this year, but you look at this 5-5 record and go, huh, all right, Seahawks. Didn't see that coming because a lot of people kind of figured they would be.
Yeah, huge win, season saving win last week in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And needed Bosa that. Is officially out. So, yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
Needed that. The Rams, again, this year, first year without Aaron Donald, you know, up front.
They're showing a graphic right now on ESPN. Nick Bosa, Armstead, Hargrave, Chase Young, their starting lineup in the divisional playoffs last year. Today, it's Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott, Leonard Floyd, and Yeeter Gross-Matos.
Yeet.
Yeats.
Best of luck. Actually, I have this article from the Mercury News, Dieter Kurtenbach, of talking about the 49ers. Since 2021, the 49ers have played 70 football games. That is a full season plus three extra games every year. That is like, jeez. That's like LeBron, except you're not an absolute freak in nature and you're not playing a physical sport like football. So yeah, there's going to be some wear and tear, but you have played more games than anybody. You played essentially every team at this point has played. I think I did the math. It was like 61 games since 2021. So you've played 9 more games than any other than most franchises. Right. Like you put yourself in those positions to be a contender every year. But playing that extra amount of football, that is going to have a toll. You have literally almost played more than half an extra season than everybody else since 2021. But that has led to every single one of the Niners' 10 highest paid players in 2024 that is either sidelined or playing through a noticeable injury. The top 10 paid players on their team. And then, I mean, you can even... I mean, even he's not a top player, top paid player. He's one of their top players. You throw Brock Purdy into that mix now, right? Like, you have Trent Williams. He had to be shot up on an injured ankle against the Seahawks last week. Nick Bosa not playing this week. Fred Warner hasn't looked the same since he rolled his ankle in Week 4. Debo has not looked the same this year at all. George Kittle, I don't know if he's playing this week, but he didn't play last week. He's been playing through a hamstring injury. Christian McCaffrey is back, but he was obviously injured to start the year. Javon Hargrave, he's out today, out for the season with a torn triceps. Brandon Ayuk, he's out for the season with a torn ACL, MCL. Dre Greenlaw, we remember his injury in the Super Bowl when he tore his Achilles. This one is actually not even injury-related, but just terrible nonetheless, and I didn't know this. Charvarius Ward is out for the 49ers because he's grieving the death of his one-year-old daughter, which is just terrible to hear. But it's one of those that's like, dude, take as much time off as you want. Okay. We'll see you
to the family.
We'll see you next year if necessary, right? Like, but those are the top 10 highest players. But then you throw in Talanoa Hufanga, wrist injury. Aaron Banks and Kyle Juszczyk. Kyle Juszczyk is in the concussion protocol. Aaron Banks dealing with a calf. And then again, as I mentioned, Brock Purdy with his shoulder injury. I mean, this is... And what we see today is the first time we haven't seen in 36 regular season games, I believe. They are dogs. They are not the betting favorite. They have been a betting favorite in every single regular season game for the last 36.
Wow. They're that good. And all the players that you mentioned, and I know obviously this sounds weird, football is such a physical sport, but all those guys that you mentioned are ones that are really taking the brunt of that physicality a lot of times. You know, you look at how physical of a running back Christian McCaffrey is, and he's not doing a lot of sweeps, right? He's not doing that. He's going, you know, through the tackles, and so that's can kind of cause for a lot of
beats the sweeps or the creeps.
Yeah, he's. I think you have a team that this is the this is what happens when you're good, you know, and you play a lot of football. You have a lot of, you know, first round, you know, games to have. You said they played nine more games than everybody else.
Yeah, like, 70 since 2021.
You know, that's a lot of football.
When you just look at the full season slate and then teams playing 8-9 games, whatever it is so far, if you haven't made the playoffs, you have played at least 61. So they're playing nine more games than the majority of the league has.
And San Francisco is smash mouth football. Make no mistake about it. They're not airing it out whole. They have the horses to be able to do it, and Debo and Brandon Ayuk, and then you have, you know, Kittle and guys like that. But they love to run the ball. They love to, you know, and run it a whole lot. That defense, that pass rush, you know, they love to get physical up front. So, I mean, these things are going to happen, unfortunately. And when you play a lot like this team does, those little lingering injuries kind of linger for a little longer than you're used to. So now you're at this point in the season, week 12, you know, week 13, every team is beat up too. It should be noted. Like every team is beat up, but all of those teams aren't the San Francisco 49ers and were just in the Super Bowl last year. So I think a lot of what they're going through, obviously right now, it's injuries, and the injury bug kind of bit them. Maybe this is a good thing. They can rest up a little bit and get ready for the next season. And, you know, who knows what a fully healthy 49ers team looks like for a whole year.
Well, and they've had their bye week, so there is not a lot of resting for them. But this is their remaining schedule. They have the Packers today in Lambeau, so have fun with that. Then you have to go Sunday night to Buffalo next week against one of the best teams in the NFL. After that, you'll get the Bears. You'll get the Rams. You'll get the Dolphins, you'll get the Lions, and you'll get the Cardinals. You are literally playing either playoff teams or teams fighting for their playoff lives at this point.
They are getting their vacation plans ready for Cancun. Or let's say Charles Barkley they're going to Galveston.
That dirty-ass water.
Sending them to Galveston, yeah.
This, according to Tankathon, that is the third toughest remaining schedule left on the season. Only the Patriots, good for you, Rashad, and the Bears have a tougher remaining schedules.
There's no playoffs in the Patriots' future.
Hey, it's going to build character,
none of that.
No, I saw some passes Drake made through last
week. In order to
get
better, you got to do tough things, okay? You got to do tough things, and that's what your Patriots are going to do.
No, yeah, I guess.
And then when you look at the rest of the division as far as their remaining schedule goes, I mean, Arizona, who is leading the division, they have...
Shout out to the Cardinals.
Dude, good...
Shout out to the Cardinals.
I don't know if I ever went on record on this show, but I just had a feeling they were not going to be that bad this year. Like, they weren't going to be a 4-13 team. They weren't going to be 5-12. Like, I think they were going to be possibly winning the division. No.
There are two teams in the NFC that I think we have to tip our hats to. One of them is the Arizona Cardinals, and the other one are the Atlanta Falcons. Because
not after last week. Well, but not after last week. Hopefully, they rebound.
Guess what? They had the bad week last week, and they're still top of the NFC South. Like, nobody thought that old ass Kirk Cousins, you know, coming off an Achilles injury, was going to be able to go in somewhere and play the way that he's played thus far and have this Falcons team tops with a Tampa Bay team that had a pretty good season at the end of the year last year, a Saints team that started the season, you know, pretty hot, and then the Panthers, you know, it's the Panthers.
Oh, but Panthers have won two in a row, buddy.
Then there's the Panthers, right? And there's those other guys. But, man,
you watch your Kirkers, mouth, buddy.
Kirkers is one of those guys who's consistently disrespected. Consistently across the board. Brandon Sprague and Andy Dirt Johnson can't stand Kirk Cousins.
Actually, I think Dirt is a Kirkers fan.
Is he?
I think he is. He has been on the Kirkers train for a while.
Okay, it's definitely Sprague then. Sprague's the one that hates Kirkers.
This I feel like is a good segue. I mean, so as we mentioned, you know, 49ers, the NFC West wide open. But I think this is a good segue into who do you love, because I'll have to make an apology into the next segment as well.
Ooh.
Yeah, because there was one pick I had last week that, I mean, it could not have been more wrong.
It was disrespectful.
Yes, yes. And honestly, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of it. I feel bad for myself. I feel bad for both of the teams that were involved. So get your picks ready. We will check the picks from last week, get the standings as they are, and lose some money this week. We do that next. Who do you love? Right here on Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Who do you love? Rashad and Joe share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
All right. It's time for Who Do You Love? Take a look at the current standings for entering week 12 of the NFL slate. Right now, I stand at 15-11-1, Rashad at 11-12-1, and Jordan Schultz at 11-14-2.
Almost had a perfect week last.
Almost. You needed the Chiefs to cover.
I didn't
mind you taking that +2.5 whenever you can get Mahomes as a dog. You know, you take it. But you did hit on the Steelers covering the 3.5. They won outright. You did hit on Ladd McConkey getting over 56.5. He might have just got that on the last possession alone.
I know, seriously.
So that gives you a 2-1 week for Rashad. Minnesota, Tennessee over 39.5 hits. The 49ers do not cover the -6, though. They lose to the Seahawks. And then, boy, the Bengals money line. It had a chance, my friend. It had almost a chance there against the Chargers on was it either Sunday night or Monday night? I can't remember which. I think it was Sunday night, that game, with Collinsworth and Tirico on the call. But that was a great game. I mean, Chargers were blowing them out in the first half. Bengals clawed back in that one. And then as their season went, they just could not finish off in the fourth quarter. My picks, Texans -7 over the Cowboys. That is the third straight week I have bet on the team to cover the spread against the Cowboys. And that is 3 wins in a row. Packers -6 did not happen. They won thanks to a blocked field goal at the end of the game, which I will give Caleb Williams credit for, putting his team into position. That he made some great completions on that final drive to give the Bears a chance. But thanks to Matt Eberflus not running one more play to try and get them some extra yards or put the ball in the middle of the field. I mean, it could have gotten blocked either way. But anyways, the Packers do not cover -6. And where my apology is needed is to the Denver Broncos.
Mm.
And Bo Nix. My God.
Look at the camera.
That was a shellacking of epic proportions. I had the Falcons covering the +2 in Denver. Going into that game, I was like, dude, this is a great chance for the Falcons to put a stranglehold on the NFC South. They win that. They are now, I believe, 3 games up on the Buccaneers. They are 7-4, where the Bucs are 4-6, I think, at that point. You win this game, you are in a prime position to finish out that season with an NFC South victory. You lost, 38-6 was the final score?
Yeah.
And probably the best rookie performance from a quarterback this season, and Bo Nix going 28-33, a billion touchdowns. The offense looked so good on that last Sunday against
Bo
the Falcons.
Had his first great game as a pro.
So I feel bad for me for losing, and I feel bad for the Falcons for getting absolutely embarrassed like that. But then I just feel bad for picking against Bo Nix. How dare I do such a thing? He might be also on the list of, if you don't bet against Mike Tomlin, you don't bet against Bo Nix. And I'll tell you what, if the season continues the way it does and Bo Nix is able to show out a little bit more and Jaden Daniels is just all right, just good enough, there might be another person in the talks for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I don't think it's a done deal just yet. There's still a lot of the football left to be played and a lot of things that could happen. So hopefully that we get a little bit more of a race for Rookie of the Year in the NFL.
Oh, okay. It's bold.
But we go to the first picks of the day, and I am going with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to cover 6.5 against the New York Giants. This game is in New York. I don't know if it's I think it's Tommy DeVito that's playing Tommy Cutlets.
Tommy Cutlets,
which was fun last year, but there is a reason he is a backup quarterback, and it showed itself.
Technically, a third string quarterback.
Yeah, honestly, that's true. Drew Locke thought he was the backup quarterback, right. And then he got basically screwed out of that last second.
Jumped on over, sir.
I think what that was the Giants were like, hey, we just benched our quarterback. Our season's absolutely tanking, but how do we still sell tickets? Oh, fans love Tommy DeVito.
Let's get the sleazy agent back on the sidelines.
Yeah, fans will definitely show up for that. But the Bucs, coming off of a bye week, just like the Falcons had a chance to take a stranglehold of the NFC South, the Bucs have a chance. They have a very easy schedule the rest of the way. They have a chance to climb back up in the standings. They are desperate for a win after a couple tough losses here lately. So I'm going with the Buccaneers. I should just take them to win straight up, but I'm going to take them to cover the 6.5.
Man, I'm looking at the schedule, and I kind of like today's slate of games, so it's kind of tough to choose which one I want to actually lay.
I will say, it is a tough slate of, spreads choosing that.
It really is. And so I think I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys, your Dallas Cowboys, visiting the—
Winning straight up? Yeah, I'm with you.
You read my mind. But no, they're going to be visiting the Washington Commanders. Washington they're 11-point favorites.
I'll give you the 10 and a half if you want. You're going to take the 11?
I think I'm going to take Dallas. I think I'm taking the 11. Yeah, as I'm thinking about it, I'm looking at Dallas as 9-12 losses in a row, whatever it is. Yeah, I'm definitely taking Washington to cover the 11.
All right, Commanders minus 11.
All right, I'm looking Detroit Lions, Indy Colts. I do think that over-under of 50.5 is going to go over. I'm just leaning on the fact that Detroit has scored a ton of points. They're going to be inside today, obviously, in Indianapolis in a dome. So I just think that Detroit's offense, despite Indy does have a strong defensive front, their front four is actually decent at stopping the run. However, you got a two-headed attack in Detroit's Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. So I say over 50.5 points. And Anthony Richardson's back for the Colts.
I'll make it easy because that was one of my picks as well. So I'm taking the over 50.5 as well.
Oh, boy.
That was easy.
Ooh, two people leaning.
A combined mutiny to try and climb back up in the standings against me.
Hey,
I don't appreciate it.
Let's go, baby.
You have a major losing streak this week.
I don't like it. All right, looking at, I believe this Patriots-Dolphins game. The Patriots have been feisty, Rashad. I'll give it to your Pats. They're a feisty little bunch, all right? But the Dolphins, I think they are fighting for their playoff lives, and this is in Miami. I think once they have Tua back, that offense is clicking. It's much better. But I think the Patriots have shown some things over the last couple weeks where I am going to take the over of 45.5.
Was it the 19-3 loss to the Bears that you saw that made you, kind of have confidence in the Patriots?
It was them climbing back in that game against the Titans as well, sending it to overtime.
The one that they lost.
Well, while it wasn't a victory, no, it was a moral victory. Yeah, they say there's plenty.
We don't do those in New England.
I was going to say there's plenty of those in the NFL, right?
Yeah, we don't do that in Foxborough. That's not how we get down with moral, moral wins and stuff like that.
But I think they'll be able to put up enough points along with the Dolphins, who definitely will put up enough points, where I'm going to take the over of 45.5. Pray for me.
Okay. Well, it's your priorities. I think I'm going to go. I'm looking
this at this. This could be a 63 spot for the Dolphins, all right?
I'm looking at this really good Arizona at Seattle game.
This is your last pick, by the way.
This is my last pick.
Colts,
yeah.
Lions, yeah.
I'm looking at this game, and, I'm looking at two teams that are really comparable. And even if you look at their records, that's what they say. Arizona's favored by 1. I think the Seahawks are going to win this game at home, so I'm taking Seattle on the points.
Seattle to win straight up?
Yes, sir.
Or just to cover the 1?
I'm going to say win straight up. Either way, yeah. They're going to win
and
straight up.
And somehow, they only lose by 0.5. We've never seen it. All right. Seahawks straight up.
That would have
straight up. Got it. Schultzy, your second pick.
Let's go Tampa Bay, New York. The total there also 39.5. I'm going over on that one as well, is what I was saying also. But that one 39.5, a little bit lower. I think that's the lowest total for the entire board today.
Vikings Bears might have something to say about that.
Let's see. Vikings.
They're 39.5.
They're at 40.
Ah.
Okay. Well, okay. Some lines have them at 40. Some at 39.5.
Listen, so they're both trash. All right. They're both bad.
But I do believe, you know, Tommy Cutlett's trying to show something out today, and like a new quarterback, maybe they won't have like the new coach effect, you know, with the Saints firing Dennis Allen then just showing up with Derek Carr a week later. But I do think with the Buccaneers and the receivers they have, even though they're missing a couple, they'll still go over 39.5. Don't know the weather though, so I'm kind of just guessing in the dark.
Yeah, that's a good point. I haven't looked at the weather at some of these games. I gotta find some slop fest or something.
Nah, 54. New York is 54 degrees.
Gosh, I'm so pissed that I didn't put money on the Packers earlier in the week. They were getting like a point and a half or 2 points, and now it's up to 6.
Oh, geez.
For the Packers being favored in that one. I know. I'm a little miffed that I didn't jump all over that. For my last pick, I am going to go Chiefs Panthers under 43.5. I think that the Chiefs defense is going to lock down that Panthers offense, that just potent, high-flying Panthers offense. But then again, I don't think the Chiefs really need to score a lot of points to get the victory here. And 43.5, I mean, that's like, I mean, at the most, a 33-10 game for the Chiefs. I mean, maybe this is the week that they show out offensively. I don't know. But I still feel like with these two offenses that are, again, not nearly top of the league when it comes to offense, I am going to take the Chiefs Panthers under 43.5.
I'm struggling on my last pick here. Like, I feel like this is a tough NFL slate. It's a lot of good games, but I feel like Vegas has kind of figured it out. Not really sure there's a good line or a hook here. I'm going to take, it's a little less value, but I'm going to take Eagles straight up against the Rams. It's kind of a revenge fest for Sean McVay. I do know that in the past, you know, when Vic Fangio basically installed the defense that showed the NFL that he can be beaten, and then Bill Belichick copied that defense in, what was it, Super Bowl 51 or whatever, to beat them in a very low-scoring contest, the Patriots v. the Rams. I do think that there's a measure of revenge today, but I think the Eagles with Saquon are just going to be too good. He's been running all over this season. So let's just take Eagles straight up. I'm getting minus 150. I don't know what you're seeing. So.
I do like that as far as Eagles winning that game and possibly even covering. So I don't mind that bet at all. That is Who Do You Love? Keep us on the radio dial, the Odyssey app, however you are listening. Go ahead and flip on Red Zone. I'm actually going to be watching Red Zone and streaming the Newburg Tigers 12U taking on Oregon City. I'll be having that on my phone, just looking for an absolutely dominating performance by Joey Fisher IV.
Let's go, Joey.
Looking to be
Let's show out.
It's crazy. I'll say this. He's having to play big man role this weekend.
Good. Like, some toughness.
Right. It's something that I don't think he's used to, but I told him, I was like, dude, you realize that you're essentially the tallest on your team. So you're going to have to, like, big 52 over there that's got a couple inches on you as far as height and waistline, you're going to have to throw your butt into him. You're going to have to box out, buddy. Mm-hmm. And he's answering the call. I appreciate it.
Good for you, Joey. Keep killing it, kid.
All right, hour number two coming up. We jump over to college football. Big win here on the West Coast. Big victory that nobody saw coming. Also, a conference just absolutely dribbles it down their leg yesterday after just a full week of propaganda. And we take a look at the rest of the college football landscape after a few upsets, and we do not know what the hell the college football playoff is going to look like, and we're just a couple weeks out. We do that next here, hour number two, Football Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan.
Dude. Well, I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
You think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two of Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. I hope you are enjoying your Sunday. I hope you got some football on the TV, but you got us on the radio dial, the Odyssey app, on the YouTube stream, and you're listening to us as you are watching the games. Boy, that's dedication if you are.
I love football.
I love to have the image of someone just in their recliner watching NFL Red Zone, and they have a little radio right next to their, like, on their little their nightstand next to their recliner.
They
got to
hear their boys on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody is. You know.
I hope. That's why I say I hope. I have the image in my head.
They got us on the app. They're watching the game right now.
It's
I know
a good
somebody
image.
Is.
It's a good image. Texans have already scored. The game literally just started a couple minutes ago.
Low total in that one, actually.
And there, go the Chiefs scoring.
Hey, did I take the over in that one or the under?
The Chiefs are going to score 70 points in this game.
Damn it. Well, again, as long as it's 33-10, I'm cool with that, all right? We're winners with that, okay?
Yeah, it's not going to be 33-10.
32-10?
52-10?
No. I'm not cool with that.
Yeah.
Come on, Panthers! Lock them down! Whatever, it's the first drive. First drives don't matter. They're scripted. They're easy, you know. Listen, Indiana scored on their first drive of the day yesterday, and look what happened to them, all right?
Yeah,
frauds.
I guess they went down.
You know who are not frauds?
The Kansas Jayhawks?
No, your Oregon State Beavers.
Oh, I was going to say my UNLV Rebs because they won two yesterday.
I believe it's Friday, but yes, they won.
Or they won two the other day. Either way, they got the dub.
I watched a little bit of that. That was in San Jose. Absolute monsoon slop fest.
Mm-hmm.
That was like every camera was covered in rain where you couldn't see anything. It was wind. It was disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, your UNLV Rebels ended up winning that one. Damn it, Joey, make your free throws. Sorry, I've got I got Red Zone on the TV.
Joe Jackson over here watching his son.
I got my phone
perform.
With the play-by-play. This app, as long as there's a parent doing it, they can like update the plays, what's happening, and then it actually has like the player that made the play, like if they got a steal, rebound, points.
Oh, like actual stats.
Yes. So, and it was I just saw that Joey missed a free throw, which is absolutely unacceptable, and that's 10 suicides.
Somebody doesn't get dessert tonight.
Yeah, that's 10 lines. That's 10 down and backs.
What's that old Bill Shonley quote that he used to give on the air? You got to make your free throws.
Yes, even in 6th grade basketball, damn it. All right. Oh, boy. There was one kid on the team yesterday, back-to-back air balls on his free throws.
Oh, gosh.
Like, buddy.
Start going granny. Start doing the Rick Barry stuff.
After he missed the first one air ball, I'm like, just get it to the rim. Just get it to the hoop. And then just still fell short. I'm like, damn it.
We
Come
need
on,
to stop
bud.
Being so obsessed with how we look doing things. Do the granny shot. It's a higher percentage free throw. Nobody cares. Look, oh, look at that silly,
oh,
like Shaq,
care.
You moron.
You're getting roasted if you do a granny shot.
I don't care. You make it. Why would you get roasted for scoring points?
Because it looks ridiculous.
I was going to say, I mean.
You look ridiculous.
Come on.
It's just one of those things. Like, understandable.
It's not 1964.
It doesn't matter. It's a better way of shooting it. Who cares how it looks?
According to one Jordan Schultz. non-NBA player, college player. I think the only other player that's ever done that was
Jackie Moon.
was Jerry West's, Rick Barry's son.
Yeah, Colton Barry. No, what's the kid? He was playing, God, like in the tourney a couple of years ago. And he played in the Olympics, actually, recently.
This is supposed to be a Beaver segment, damn it. What the hell's going on?
You know what? I don't really want to talk Beaver. I'm just kidding. I don't want to detract.
Well, hey, good for the Beavs. As I was finishing up my son's basketball games yesterday, and I was getting in the car, I was throwing on the YouTube TV on my phone, definitely not driving while the YouTube TV was on my mount, right? Who would do that? And I was like, all right, let's throw on the quad screen here. Let me get the four games up. What games are on? What can I look at here? And one of them was the Oregon State Washington State game. And before the game loaded up, I even said, I was like, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Oregon State was in this game right now.
I was like, weird spot. Washington State, they just lost to New Mexico last week. Oregon State has lost 5 straight games. I was like, I guarantee Washington State went into this game after a tough loss. They're like, all right, well, at least we get Oregon State. We'll get a win there. We'll rebound. And Oregon State, who is fighting for their lives, is fighting for their bowl game lives, are like, listen, this is our, I think, last home game. I don't know if they have to go to Boise next week. But they're like, hey, our chance at a bowl is on the line here. We need to win this game. And sure as hell, they end up getting the win against Washington State, I think, by the final of, 38-31 in a high-scoring affair. And thank God they got a fumble recovery late in the game around the midfield mark to be able to take over possession and end up taking the lead late in that game. But Oregon State, when everybody was counting them out, when you thought that their season was over, they get a
totally redeem themselves.
41-38. They were able to tie the game, and after getting that fumble at midfield, and then they were able to kick the game-winning field goal, which was like a no-doubter too.
Just when I think they can't be any more pathetic,
they pull me back in.
They go and do something like this and totally redeem themselves. Pac-12 champions, Oregon State. This is how it works, right?
It does say 1-0 in their conference record.
Pac-12 champions.
And it says 0-1 against Washington
State.
There
you go.
So, I mean, it hang is the decided. Banner. Put them in the playoff.
Hang the banner. Hang the banner. Congratulations, Beavs, on an amazing season. And actually, I know we're being funny, but yesterday, Ben Golbranson might have had his best game as a college quarterback. He did throw 2 interceptions in there, but as far as
one of those being a pick six,
but you got the win at the end. You threw for almost 300 yards, and for Ben Golbranson, that doesn't happen ever. And they were able to pull out a really close win against a Washington State team that's, you know, they play some pretty good football. They play an off-brand schedule like the Beavs do, but they've been able to rack up, you know, eight wins on the season, which has definitely got them into a bowl. So Washington State is, I think, a better team than people want to give them credit for, you know, right now. And I think just having a wonky schedule with, you know, with no conference opponents, it's like, it looks weird. But they've been playing a great season. And Oregon State came out yesterday and played the most inspired football that I think we may have seen them play all year. And they won a big game that I don't think anybody in this room or in Jordan's room expected them to win.
And also, while we are uplifting,
not at all.
While we are uplifting Oregon State, I'm going to take a dump on their fan base right here.
Please,
as I am
listen to you talking about. Please,
I want to hear.
I want to see it. As I'm getting gas at Fred Meyer gasoline station and walking into Fred Meyer last night, I'm watching the game. I have the quad screen. I'm watching that game. I'm watching Alabama lose to Oklahoma. I'm watching Texas A&M Auburn. And the fourth game I had on the screen was, I think it was LSU Vandy. But Oregon State, Washington State was one of the games on my phone. I am watching it as I'm walking into Fred Meyer.
Okay.
I am dedicated. I am watching the game. What do I see when I walk into Fred Meyer? I see two people, a young couple, both wearing Oregon State garb without a care in the world. And this is more so a conversation about sports pet peeves and things that grind my gears, is when I see a fan or a person wearing a team's jersey, shirt, any team merchandise, and the game is currently on, like the game is being played, and they're out shopping or they're out doing something. And here the Beavs were down, I think, 7 at this point, or it was a tied game. It was like less than 5 minutes left in the game. Close game. You haven't won a game in 6 weeks, and you are out just leisurely going for a shopping trip at Fred Meyer.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. I was like, what a dedicated fan base right there.
Hey, man.
Props to those two for, one, recognizing, oh, it's Saturday. College football is on. Our Beavs are probably playing football today. Let's put on Beavers shirts. Let's put on our Oregon State gear today. And you're not even watching the game.
I've seen a lot of Oregon Duck garb out there in the world when they were playing huge games.
Oh, you know? Listen, so. I would call out whether this was Oregon fan. Again, any fan of any sport, any team that does this, it drives me nuts. Because I'm like, oh, yeah, you clearly care about your team so much that you chose to wear their gear but not watch the game.
Well, I mean, they might have been watching the game and something.
No, they weren't. I was watching the game.
No, I had my phone. They might have been somewhere watching the game and like, okay, we have to go to Walmart right now. We have to hurry.
They went to the bottle drop thing to get some money from the bottle drop.
That's essential. That's essential.
Don't make excuses for them.
Getting money is essential. I don't know how y'all grew up.
We need to get more beer to celebrate the win.
Yes. What do you mean? That's probably what they were doing as fans.
It drives me nuts. It's like, all right.
It could have been anything. Could have had a doctor's appointment at that point.
That's how I know you're not a real fan.
How?
Is when literally your team is playing and you're wearing their gear and you're not.
I don't know.
You're not somewhere watching the game.
I don't know, man.
It's live.
So I'm supposed to watch every Blazer game or watch all the Blazer games because they're on TV or whatever, and I'd have to finish up shopping at, I don't know, Winco, Walmart, wherever I'm at. Like, no, it's okay.
Also,
it's okay. I can watch the highlights. I can still be a fan of the team and not see. I haven't watched every Oregon game, or it's hard to watch. The Patriots play right now, like, and so if I'm wearing a Pats hat, it's like, man, I needed a hat to wear today.
Well, the second thing that I'm gonna have to also call out Beaver fans on, I will give them credit, is that they were lit last night. They had a great time down at Research Stadium, and they were cheering. And
it's a good time.
It was a loud environment when they got that because they had the review the fumble. That gave them the is that the chainsaw?
Ring, ring, ring.
That's what they do, right? That chainsaw can go F itself. Every third down, every fourth down. I'm not sure I can ever attend another game at Research Stadium solely based on that.
Well, it's better than the
all game.
Slightly racist.
I don't care. I'm native and I'd rather hear that for an hour straight than the Beavers chainsaws.
But I will say this to Bees fans. This is now the second time this year that I've seen you rush the field for a game that did not warrant you rushing the field.
No.
Every
win is a reason to rush the field.
I do declare that Oregon State is the worst field rushing team in college football. They rushed the field earlier this year when they beat Colorado State in an overtime game. Which, again, did not warrant you rushing the field.
Colorado State, the Rams.
And then you rush the field against a Washington State team who is not ranked. I feel like there has to be criteria.
It's the Pac-12 championship, bro.
There has to be. Rashad, I hate you this segment.
It's the Pac-12 championship.
There has to be criteria.
You're
for
part
field
of the problem,
rushing.
Rashad. Man,
it's the Catalina wine mixer. What are you talking about?
You can only rush the field when you beat a team that is ranked and ranked higher than you. Those are at least the two boxes that you need
to check. They're definitely ranked, not in the top 25, but ranked higher than Oregon State.
No, don't do that.
What?
It's true. There was no number next to Washington State's name on that scoreboard.
It's because they don't rank anything past 26 or 25. So
yeah. So therefore, they are unranked.
They're like 39.
I'm not doing this.
They're like 39. If we look it up right now, they're like 39.
Try to get you riled up.
Stop. That is just that is absolutely ridiculous. Again, kudos to the Oregon State fans for having a great time last night and showing out at Research Stadium. As the text line said, I was there, and what was really great was that place was packed and full of energy. All were treated to a fun game filled with big plays. Was a great send off for those seniors whom have been through a lot.
That's why
I agree with all of that.
Yeah.
I agree with all of that. It was a great environment from what I saw when I turned on that that game late in the fourth. I was like, listen, Reeser is lit. Fire off those chainsaws, baby, all night long.
Be like Arizona State and rip that goalpost right out and then, you know, put it back if you
but
need
don't
to.
Don't go on the field.
Yeah, and go out there.
Do not go on the field.
Were there a large amount of students there? Like, I'm sure that...
There was a lot of people there.
Well, because it's senior night, there's going to be a lot more fans there. But I will say, like, when Rashad and I went to see the Beavers v. UNLV, most of the fans were students. And I'm just, they have a much more massive student section at Reser than they do at Autzen. I mean, I was also honestly kind of amazed. So I do wonder, like, how many of them, like, were, you know, making the drive, or if it was just a bunch of kids.
Well, and I'll pivot, because there was one field rush last night that was justified, 100% justified. And it has to do with a conference that spent all last week puffing out their chest, clamoring and yelling at anybody who would listen about how great, how deep, how awesome their conference is, and how they deserve to have every team in the playoff. And we get to that next year on Football Sunday on 1080. All right, let's get into it. The SEC and all the national pundits, talking heads, spent the entire week talking about how deep the conference is, why a team with three losses or two losses or whatever is better than a team with one loss or zero losses in some other conferences. And they got what they asked for last night. What happened was three of their top 15 teams, of the top 15 teams in the country, they took losses. And it wasn't like a loss to another top 15 team. Not even a top 25 team. You had those teams lose to some of the worst teams in their conference. You had Alabama, who entering last night was favored percentage-wise of 100,000 simulations that we ran, or whatever the hell.
Yeah. No way, they should have been number seven after two losses anyway, but keep going.
They go up against Oklahoma, who has been one of the worst teams offensively in the country, and it's just been a bad season in Norman, Oklahoma. They put up 3 points against Oklahoma, and they lose 24-3. And Oklahoma fans rightfully rushed the field. They deserve to rush the field after that. So Alabama takes a loss to an unranked Oklahoma team. Earlier in the day, you had Ole Miss, who had a win against Georgia. That's a good win, right? But they also had losses against, Kentucky, and I believe, was it South Carolina? I got to double check what their second loss. It wasn't, South Carolina's good, but I want to say that their second loss is not one where it helps the resume. And then what did they do? They go into Florida, who, another mid to bottom dweller of the SEC. Now, I will say that Florida team is much, much different when they have DJ Lagway at quarterback. But they are still 5-5, that Florida team. I believe maybe even 4-5 going to that game. And they lose in the swamp. And they lose their chance at a playoff, rightfully so. They should not have any chance at the playoff going forward. And then you also had Texas A&M lose to Auburn, another terrible SEC team this year, in four overtimes. So literally after a week of you telling everyone that the SEC is just better. It doesn't matter. They are just a better conference overall. An 10-1 Indiana is not better than a 9-2 Ole Miss or 8-2 Ole Miss. They're not better than an Alabama. Well, your top teams in the SEC seemingly can't beat the bottom teams in the SEC. And I guarantee if there is a season that the SEC was having like this, if that was happening in an old Pac-12 season, if the Pac-12 was having a season like the SEC is right now, national pundits, national media, talking heads would be saying, oh, the Pac-12 was terrible. What an embarrassing conference. Nobody seems to want to win it.
One of the reasons why they could really never crack the college football playoff, other than Washington and Oregon doing so, because they always cannibalize themselves. And instead of the credit that the SEC gets for that, the Pac-12 for eating itself up in four three lost teams because they all played each other and they're good, people didn't care. But apparently the SEC, oh, that doesn't matter because they're the best of the best. They're amazing. Nobody's better, right?
People are saying there is the conference. It's a great conference. No better conference out there. I was talking to Rashad and he said, wow, have you ever seen a conference this good before? And I said, no, I haven't.
Yeah,
it's just... Would that not happen?
No.
Would that not happen if the Pac-12 years ago? I mean, they've had that.
No, they
season.
Never
what,
did.
That's what. That's what our reality is in the Pac-12. That's.
But
what
we're gonna get this
what
week.
It's always been.
What we're gonna get this week from the Paul Feinbaums, the Josh Pates, the whoever's out there is gonna be like, man, the SEC. It's just deep.
Listen,
it's just a deep conference.
Oregon,
it's a tough conference. Okay?
Oregon was a top five team all of last year, but lost to a team that ultimately went and competed in the national championship last year in Washington. And everybody said, just can't get it done. This is what happens to the Pac-12. They just don't want it enough, like you were kind of saying, Jordan. And that's what it's always been, whether it was those great Stanford years where they were kind of running through, you know, everybody, or those great Oregon, like, the Pac-12 has always been really good, and good enough to where, yeah, maybe a bottom feeding Arizona State comes out of nowhere and bites you in the ass, you know, once a season, stuff like that. But in the SEC, it's rewarded a lot of times because it's the best conference in football. Well, if that's the case, then almost every team in the Big Ten needs to be in this playoff when it starts, because top to bottom, that's the best conference in football. Let's just be honest. Between Oregon, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Indiana, that's the best conference in football, period. And so I don't want to hear any more about the SEC. You got your top three teams all have three losses. No way any of them should be anywhere near this playoff. Just
well,
and my UNLV Rebels are on the outside looking in with only two losses to two really good teams. Nope.
I don't know if I misheard you or not. I mean, like, Texas still with one loss, but also they don't have a top 25 win. This season, their only top 25 win came at the beginning of the year when they played Michigan, who was ranked at the time, who was no longer ranked. Their win against Vanderbilt was number 25 at the time. They're no longer ranked,
and they had the big loss against three lost Georgia.
Georgia has two losses.
Two losses. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yep. So that was their big loss against them, but. No,
but Georgia has lost to Alabama, and they have lost to Ole Miss. And I know what the community and people are saying is like, well, Georgia's had a tough schedule. I mean, they had to go to Alabama. They had to go to Texas. They had to go Ole Miss. Well, guess what? They won the most important game out of those three, and that was beating Texas to me. But you have also lost to the two teams that now have three losses total in Alabama and Ole Miss. So what does that say about Georgia? Like, that you are losing to the two SEC teams that are three lost teams.
We're saying
okay,
it's
SEC
not
is
2022
just so deep.
Or anymore, or 2021, to where Georgia is just head and shoulders the best team in college football. Right now, the best team in college football resides in Eugene, Oregon. Like, that's just kind of what it is. That's what the stats say. That's what the record says. Like, so college football at this point runs through the Big Ten, and really it runs through Eugene.
Well, I am dying to see what they put together on Tuesday as far as the rankings go. I am very curious to see what they do, because also we had some other shakeups as far as what's going on in other conferences. I believe we have one conference championship game locked up as far as what that game is going to be. And then we still have one to be decided. But again, there was a lot of shakeup happening all over college football last week. And we will get into the rest of the slate of games and things that happened on college football Saturday in the ACC and the Big 12. We do that next here. Sports Sunday, Football Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan. But first, Jordan Schultz, a SportsCenter update. All right. We had some other college football happenings on Saturday. Dilly Dilly. Stomp the bus, forks up. Arizona State, man. They take down BYU.
Thank you so much, Arizona State.
Not a BYU fan?
Not really.
Did you have a former athlete from that team signed into your CM too?
No. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think they can slide into DMs at BYU.
What are you going to do when Tennessee ends up winning the national championship this year?
Oh, man.
For those of you that don't know, Rashad loves Tennessee.
And by love, he means absolutely hates everything about being in Rocky Top.
Arizona State, though, 9-2 in the second year with Kenny Dillingham. They win 28-23 over BYU. And also in the Big 12, Kansas beats Colorado 37-21. And Kansas is the only unranked team ever to beat three straight ranked teams in college football history. How about that stat? I'll say it again. Kansas, the only unranked team to win three straight games against ranked teams in college football history.
Which is honestly probably the team that we should be talking about.
And let me rephrase that. Not unranked, a team with a losing record to defeat three consecutive ranked teams.
And, you know, really was in almost, not even almost, but every game they've played with exception of, you know, no games. Like, they've been close games.
Well,
like, you're looking at a team that could potentially be undefeated if not for a couple of missteps. They lost 23-17 to Illinois. They lost by 3 to UNLV. They lost by 4 to West Virginia. They lost by, you know, 9 to TCU. So that's probably the biggest loss.
That 11.
They had, 11, excuse me. 11
Math is hard. I get it.
Yeah, I'm looking. My eyes aren't great either. But they lost by 4 to Arizona State. They lost to 2 by Kansas State. Like, they're in all of these games that they're playing and winning. And so you've got a really, really good thing happening up there in Lawrence, Kansas right now on the football field, because a school that's traditionally known, obviously, as a basketball school, but first time in history a team has beaten three straight ranked teams. Like, that's huge.
It could have been
the loss, and it could have been four.
I was saying
it could have been four. They lost by 2 to a good Kansas State team. So, hey, man, like, you got to really tip your cap to everything that they're doing out there in Lawrence, because nobody expected Kansas to be competitive at any point in football this season.
Now, I'll take a look at the Big 12 standings here. I don't know what the tiebreakers are at the moment. But, you know, if you look at ESPN, how they have the Big 12, that you have four teams with a 6-2 conference record. You have Arizona State, BYU, Iowa State, and Colorado all at 6-2. So this is literally going to come down to the last week of the season to decide who is going to the Big 12 championship game. So, and quite frankly, it's probably looking like whoever wins the Big 12 is going to be the only team that makes the playoff. I don't think a 3-loss or, I mean, at that point, I think every team would, you know, even the, yeah, whoever goes to the Big 12 championship, the loser of that game is going to have 3 losses. Then there's no way the committee is going to put in a 3-loss Big 12 team if they lose the conference championship. They will put in whoever wins the Big 12, and that's it. That's the only team that's getting in.
Which sucks, because they would put in a 3-loss SEC team, you know, if there's going to be at least one. Yeah, there's going to be at least one. And so it sucks that there couldn't be more. The Colorado game thing really kind of threw a huge monkey wrench into a lot of
plans. There was part of me that low-key kind of wanted Colorado to make the playoff just so people could be like, wait, what the hell? They climbed their way back into this?
Like, even though they're not going to make the playoff, still, they won, what, 4 games last year? 3 games?
Yeah.
4 games last year. And now, so now you respond the next year with 8? Like, hey, man, that's the way you start to build a program.
I do want
to. You've got a front runner for the Heisman. Like, this is a successful season for Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffs.
I do want to say that I think it was maybe Jason Sukanik that was like, all right, if you look at Colorado's wins over the last 2 years, though, it's like they don't have like a great win. Like, no. They beat a lowly Utah team. Maybe it's Texas Tech this year. But Cincinnati, Arizona, who's down, UCF, Baylor, Colorado State, North Dakota State. I mean, great year, great rebound year. Listen, Colorado winning 8 games regardless of the coach, whether it's Deion, whether it's whoever. That's still a good season for Colorado.
Feather in the cap.
As far as tiebreakers go, I'm trying to run through this and read this article. For Colorado to have a chance, Iowa State would need to lose its season finale against Kansas State, creating a scenario where Colorado's record might still hold weight in a tiebreaker. However, even if the Buffaloes manage to sneak into the title game and win it, their postseason aspirations may take a significant hit. Because they would have 3 losses at that point.
Yeah, they would have 3 losses. And mind you, I think we can all probably concede to the fact that Colorado's probably not going to the playoff. Right. Like, I think that's, you know, kind of a dream.
I mean, kind of a dream deferred,
yeah, you know, at this point for Deion. But
they had to win out.
No, they have to win out. And again, too many things have to work out in their favor for them to be in that position to do so. That said, you're going to finish the season with 8 to 9 wins and go to because all the playoff games are like the cool bowls now. So it's like, What bowl? Are you playing in the Las Vegas Bowl?
Like, you don't get up for the Tax Slayer Bowl?
Not really.
No.
Not
the only
really.
One I get up for that's not the big ones is the Bahamas Bowl, because it's an absolute S show every year in the Bahamas.
I mean,
that is kind of a fun one.
The Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl or whatever it was a couple years ago. Like,
brought to you by Gronk?
Hosted by Gronk or something like that.
Throw one up in Barrow, Alaska, the northernmost American town. Just start doing them in random places.
But if you're Dion and if you're the Colorado, like, this is you just got the number two recruit in the country. So he's going to be taking over for Shador, who's going to be more than likely probably the first or second quarterback taken off the board this year in the draft. You're going to finish with more than likely a Heisman winner in Travis Hunter, which, you know, a defensive guy and that can play offense and everything. You're going to play in a major bowl game. This is a hell of a year for you if you're Dion. And you just got the number two player in the country to be your trigger man next year. Like, I understand, like, people still want to hate and kind of poo-poo on what they've done in Colorado over the past couple years. But he came in 2 years with a bunch of JC guys and has this team, you know, in, what, third and fourth place in the Big 12 after 2 years. Like, if that's not a story that they made that Disney is going to love, like, I don't know what is.
Also, if all of the 6-2 teams in conference play, BYU, Arizona State, Colorado, Iowa State, if they all win out, it's Arizona State and Iowa State in the Big 12 championship
game. Let's go, Arizona State. Shout out to Arizona State. All the Pac-12 teams out in a big FU to the rest of the country to say, no, yeah, we're really cold. We really do football out here on the West Coast, on the West Side, and nobody knows it. Everybody disrespects them, but Oregon goes in the Big 10 first year. Going to be the Big Ten champion more than likely. Arizona State first year in the Big 12 with all these, you know, well, what used to be a really respected conference still comes in and says, yeah, we're number one. I love it.
Over to another conference where, and I incorrectly spoke in the last segment. It is not decided yet as far as who is going to be in the ACC championship all the way. You do have one team who has clinched their spot, and that is SMU. The SMU Mustangs, in their first year in the ACC conference, will be in the conference championship game. They do not have an opponent just yet, though. That is either going to be Miami or it is going to be Clemson. All Miami has to do is just beat Syracuse, which easier said than done, because that will be at Syracuse. I don't think they call it the Carrier Dome anymore, but Syracuse is not a bad team this year. The former Ohio State quarterback, was it Kyle McCord back there for Syracuse, who has had a pretty decent season for them.
One of the two losses that my UNLV Rebs have taken is to Syracuse. That was a tough one.
That's how you know they're
a
good
tough
team.
One.
But that's who they will play next week, Miami. I don't know if the line is out on it yet, but that if Miami wins that, they are in. I believe also they are in with a Clemson loss as well is the tiebreaker there. Clemson will play. Clemson actually will play a rivalry game, South Carolina, next week, which is non-conference. So if South Carolina, whatever happens, that game does not matter. If Miami loses to Syracuse, Clemson is in. If Miami beats Syracuse, Miami is in, and that is your ACC championship. You could be looking at two ACC teams making the playoff, because if SMU is able to beat Miami in the ACC championship game, then they'll be ranked. They'll be a top 12 team. They'll be a conference champion. And then you wonder if Miami will drop out of the top 12 with a second loss. And being a second loss to an SMU team that was in the conference championship game. So still a lot to get worked out. And the other thing is the context of wins and losses, right? Like, going into the game yesterday, how Indiana lost to Ohio State was going to matter, right? It was like Indiana can take a loss, right? But it was how they lost. And they got worked yesterday. They got a single touchdown at the start of the game. And that was essentially it for them. Yeah. They were able to then score a touchdown late in the game, but they gave up, I believe it was at least 31 straight. They gave up 31 unanswered before they were able to score their next touchdown to go down just 31-15. And then Ohio State scored another one, winning 38-15. But that loss for Indiana, again, they can take a loss, but losing like that is tough.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that was, if it had been to any other team that wasn't Ohio State, I think that loss would look a lot worse. But the fact that it was number two Ohio State, you know, they're going to drop, but I don't know how far. But you got worked. You know, you lost by a little bit. And it wasn't really close from the outset. You look at the first half, it's 14-7. You feel good about that, right? You go into the locker room if you're Indiana, it's like, okay, we're right there. And then the second half started, and it's like, oh no, we're not. We're really, really far behind. But still, Indiana's still a very, very good team. This was a huge win for Ohio State, who just really has been nothing but dominant since that loss they had in Eugene in week six, I think it was, of the season. But it looked bad. But the fact that it was to Ohio State, had it been to Michigan, then I think this loss looks a lot worse if you're the committee. But because it was Ohio State and because Indiana took a 10-0 record into the 13th week of the season, I think it's going to look a little bit different.
All right, we're going to take a break. I'm going to do my best to figure out who the top 12 teams in the country are. The Joe Fisher College Football Playoff rankings. I already started thinking about it last night. I think I got to around the 7 and 8 slot. Yeah, go ahead. I'm gonna throw out a couple that you're gonna be like, I don't know, because again, we got quite the shakeup this week with these SEC teams losing and some more top 15 teams taking a loss. So we will get to that next year and wrap up Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. All right, coming up with an impromptu top 12 is a little harder than I anticipated.
2 minutes, go.
It wasn't hard for me. Whoa, pause.
Number one, obviously Oregon. Number two, Ohio State. Call me crazy. I'm putting Georgia 3.
Crazy.
You can't put Texas above Georgia because Georgia lost to Texas. Or excuse me, Georgia beat Texas at Texas. So I'm putting Georgia 3. I'm putting Texas 4. And then I'm going Penn State 5, Notre Dame 6. There was part of me last night when I was thinking about this that wanted to put Notre Dame, those unpatriotic bastards, above Penn State. Also, this should be known. Notre Dame hates the troops. After what they did to Army and Navy, it is unequivocally true that Notre Dame hates America, hates our men and women fighting overseas, and hates the troops. All right. If they had to play Air Force, they would beat them by 70. If the Marines had a school with a football team, they would beat them by 100. Just absolutely disgusting what Notre Dame has done to this country. But they are number 6. I did not put them above Penn State because they have a worse loss. Penn State lost to Ohio State. Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois. So you have to put that into account. Number 7, Miami. Number 8, Tennessee. Number 9, SMU. Number 10, Boise State, whose only loss is a last-second loss to Oregon. Other than that, they are undefeated. They are likely going to win the Mountain West. That, again, I think that is their one loss almost speaks more to what they are than their conference play and running the table there. It's like, okay, cool, you won the Mountain West. But your one game that you lost was against the number one team in the country by a last-second field goal. It speaks volumes about that team. So they're number 10. Indiana does not fall out of number out of the top 12. They are number 11. Your only loss, again, you are undefeated, and your only loss, yes, you did get worked, is against Ohio State, the number 2 team in the country. You do not fall out of the top 12 to me.
Our list aren't super, super different.
Number 12 is where I'm having a tough time here.
Yeah, number 12 can be, you know, interchangeable. My first three for me are, it's all Big Ten, so Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, number 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, wow.
I got Georgia.
Controversial.
I got Georgia at 4. I got Texas at 5. I still have Indiana at 6. Because again, their only loss was against. I still have them at 6. Their only loss was against that Ohio State team. I've got Notre Dame 7, Miami at 8, Tennessee at 9, SMU at 10, Boise State at 11, and Iowa State at 12.
Iowa State at 12. Yeah. You're putting Iowa State over Arizona State.
Think they're gonna win.
Well, also, I will say Arizona State's losses are not doing them any favors. Neither really is Iowa State's, though. Arizona State lost to Cincinnati and Texas Tech. And then Iowa State lost to Texas Tech and Kansas. So neither of those. This is where the 12 slot, because right now.
Now UNLV at 13.
The coaches poll has Clemson at 12. And then at at 13, they have Alabama. At 14, they have South Carolina. And then 15 is Arizona State, followed by Ole Miss and Iowa State. Whoever gets that 12 spot tomorrow, heads are going to roll. Because if they give it to Alabama, oh my God, people are going to lose their collective heads. The only two losses that Clemson have this year is their, and quite frankly, looking at it, Clemson should be the number 12 team. Their only two losses are to Georgia at the beginning of the year, which are Georgia is my number three team. And then they also lost to Louisville, which I still can't believe they lost that game. That was at home at night, a night game at Clemson. Yes, Louisville is a good team, 7-4 on the year. But that was just a spot that, like, you could not afford to lose that game, and you did. So I still don't know how they did that. Big win yesterday for Clemson, though, getting the win against the Citadel.
Huge. Just oh, my God.
Good for them. I'm really.
Powerhouse Citadel.
Same for Georgia yesterday.
Yeah, over UMass, right?
I mean, hell.
Hey, UMass covered the spread, though, so I was proud of them. I think it was UMass a 47 or 43 point spread.
Well, hey, as they say, too, good teams win, great teams cover. Damn, is right. Georgia a great team? I don't know. If you're not covering against the Minutemen of UMass,
and
then.
How SEC like for Georgia to schedule a friggin' cupcake in week 12 like UMass? I mean, and same, obviously, what we just saw Syracuse do, or Clemson, excuse me, but just that pisses me off as a college football fan. Put a halfway hard game in at this point of the season.
I believe it was Oregon up until this week with the bye week. They had played 8 straight conference games, which no other team in the country had done.
Nope, no buys, no breaks.
So, I don't know. To me, according to my playoff, I have 3 SEC teams. No 3-loss SEC teams are in there. I've got 4 Big Ten teams with Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, and Indiana. I have 3 ACC teams with Miami, SMU, in Clemson, and somehow, some way, I don't have a Big 12 team in there. But what does matter is that Indiana is in there and Boise State is in there. Boise State at this point, they're looking at a first-round bye.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Impressive. That's impressive, man. Shout out to the job of that Boise State. Nobody thought they would be right here at the end of the season, and what do you know, man? Boise State has an opportunity to win a national championship.
But because this is all new to all of us, are we really looking at a scenario where the Big 12 might not get into the playoff? Like, their conference champion might not even get into the playoff?
Potentially.
Is that what we're looking at
again,
at this point?
We can't deny the fact that the college football landscape loves the SEC. Like, and so I wouldn't be surprised if they did squeeze an Alabama in there or like that. Like, it would not shock me if they left out a Big 12.
A conference champion Big 12 team.
Yeah, a new-look Big 12 that doesn't look as strong as it used to look. And I think that's probably why you look at that and go, maybe not.
So you have a 3-loss.
What about Oregon State? Conference champion Oregon State. They're not going to?
Well, you know who puts this to bed is, is if Arizona State wins out, they beat Arizona next week in the Territorial Cup, and then they win the Big 12 championship game. I mean, how do you not give them that number 12 seed, right?
Because the college football committee, the football playoff committee, and so they're guaranteed to do something. I guarantee the next time we're here and we're talking about the playoff and talking about everything, we're going to look at these who's in and be like, that's stupid.
Well, the next time that we're going to be here is not next Sunday. We will be here on 12/8, and I believe that it will be the day after the conference championship game.
So we'll know later that afternoon, usually, like, what's what.
Yeah. Also, thank you to the Seahawks for timing out the week to have a 10 a.m. game the weekend of Thanksgiving weekend.
Thank you, Seahawks. Usually I'm mad at you for that, but I'll definitely take that day.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. It's like I don't like to take shows off, you know. However, well, you know, that's debatable, actually. No, getting the Sunday break from time to time is pretty nice. But yeah, next week they play the Jets, and it's 10 a.m. kickoff, so no football Sunday for us. So you guys, though, enjoy your Thanksgiving week. I don't know about you. I'm already mentally checked out from work, and the work week hasn't even began.
Oh, I'm ready. What'd you work? What's that? I have a couple meetings tomorrow, and then my email goes on do not disturb.
Rashad is locked in.
I'm always checked out.
Gotcha.
Just absolutely locked in.
Gotta make the sweet moolah, baby.
Rashad, thank you as always, though.
Love you, man.
Enjoy your Popeye's turkey on Thursday.
It's delicious.
Are you really doing that?
Every year.
Hell yes.
Every year. I'll bring you guys some.
Yeah, bring some leftovers.
You guys are free to come through on Thanksgiving as well, just so you know.
Jordan, thank you as always.
Love you guys. Love you all. It's been fun, man. It's been a busy sports weekend. I like this.
Indeed, indeed. Have a great rest of your Sunday, and we will catch you all in 2 weeks with hopefully a clear playoff picture at that point. Thanks for listening to this Football Sunday. We will catch you in 2 weeks. Peace.